there is an alternative.
Good evening, folks. Hello, and welcome to the Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. It is a cloudy day here in Waukesha. This is the Shaw, folks, 540 AM, 101, or 92.7 FM. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8. And we're here, we're talking about democracy, and there's just like crazy stuff going on my ride out from Milwaukee. I went by the state fair, so here we are, state fair time. Great time. I don't know if you've been out there, but you know, go do it, go check it out. It's really always a fun time. But you know, tomorrow is a big election day. And in keeping with that, I have with me again Matt Moreno, who's the young leader of the Waukesha Democratic Party. And as I walked in, he said, "Hey, Mark, did you see the push?" I said, "What?" He said, "The FBI just raided Mar-a-Lago." I go, "Wow." So we have former President Trump. His mess keeps getting messier. Unfortunately, we don't have the details. If we see some pushes as we go, we'll give it to you. But so here we are, Matt. Night before elections.
It's one of my favorite nights. It's exciting.
Okay, well, here. If we are looking at the lay of the land in Wisconsin, and we're looking at what can happen with progressives and folks that are, you know, interested in democracy, where do we go? I forgot to mention this. The Senate, U.S. Senate, passed the Inflation Reduction Act.
Sure did.
Over the weekend. Huge deal.
I do believe Joe Biden called it a big effing deal.
It's a big deal. So, tell us, what does tomorrow look like? We're teed up before the November election. We got, 91 days till November? Right? A few hours left before people start voting tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, people start voting. I think this is probably one of the best weeks to be a Democrat in a very long time. We have shown what Democratic leadership looks like nationally. Rather, it's the Inflation Reduction Act that I hope we talk about tonight, because I think Waukesha County specifically has a lot of great potential benefits in that bill. The CHIPS Act, which is going to make us competitive with China, bringing manufacturing of computer chips and other technology things back home and keeping us competitive with the rest of the world. Protecting our veterans with burn pits. Huge job creation, lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. Gas has fallen for 8 straight weeks. We expanded NATO. And the president is leading the way on reproductive rights. So I think as Democrats, I'm very proud of where we stand today. And tomorrow is even is a great day to celebrate Wisconsin Democrats, because we are led by two amazing people in Governor Evers, who has already locked down his reelection for governor. And our next U.S. Senator Mandela Barnes, who is going to be at the top of the ticket with him.
So here, let's just hold up before we jump into Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to talk a little bit about the Inflation Reduction
Act. Absolutely. It's something I'm crazy proud of.
Right, and how it impacts the state of Wisconsin. You know, and everybody, you know, we are a purple state, folks. We are a purple state. I live in Milwaukee, which is a bluer shade of purple. I'm right here live in Waukesha, which is a little redder purple.
And I live in Muskego, which is a little bit more redder purple than the Waukesha we sit in currently.
So, but it is all purple. It
sure is.
And that means democracy is at play. Mm-hmm. Democracy is on the ballot. So what does this Inflation Reduction Act, though, do for... We're assuming the House is going to pass it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're assuming that our president is going to sign it this week.
Yeah.
So what does it mean for people including those people that are voting.
Absolutely. And what excites me about this bill is, you know, even Republicans should be behind portions of this bill. The biggest headline is we are reducing the deficit and reducing inflation with this bill by controlling costs and by making the richest of Americans and the corporations pay their fair share in taxes that they've avoided for so long. But look, if you are just a regular voter, you're not plugged into politics every day. How does this impact you? Well, look, everyone knows your energy bills are going up. I pay my We Energies bill every month and I see it trickling a little higher than the year before. So what this bill does is for the average homeowner, it incentivizes you to make investments in your home that are going to help you save money and energy in the long run. A couple of the big things. So if you want to change out your oven and put in an electric stove, which is more energy efficient, it's going to save you money, the government's going to give you around $900 back toward that on a tax rebate. Huge investment for middle class families who might be struggling to buy new appliances. If you are somebody who's looking at putting solar on your home, produce your own energy, completely knock out the need for We Energies, the government's going to give you 30% back on that through a tax rebate. Again, incentivizing their own homeowners to create the energy on land you already own and knock out the need for, you know, these big coal plants or things like that.
And, you know, people forget that when folks do that, when they put in new appliances, mm-hmm. it makes the economy run.
Absolutely.
People have to come and deliver,
yep.
put it in. It means that the economy works for working people.
Those made in America appliances are not going to be bought more by Americans, thus they're going to need to bring in more people to manufacture those. Chicago University put out kind of a quick study that said, hey, what is this going to do? They said it could create over 1.5 million jobs over the next 10 years. And they also said it's going to give you a 3-to-1 return on investment. So for every dollar the government's going to spend on these programs, we're looking at $3 in economic activity being created because of it. And 3-to-1 is almost unheard of for government spending because all of these investments we're making are American investments. It's going to be made in America for Americans by Americans. And that's going to be huge for our economy.
So I always enjoy talking to you because you are reflect the future and the ideas of young people.
Mm-hmm.
How does this impact young people?
And absolutely.
Why should young people care?
For young people, I mean, look, I'm 31. You know, we were out with our high school Democrats canvassing this weekend when they were talking about it. And climate change is probably a top three issue for any voter below the age of 30 because, look, we are going to have to age into this world where the weather is becoming more extreme every single year. We don't know what it's going to look like in the future. You know, in Wisconsin, we've had record days this year of heat. All across the country, record days of heat. And that means you're using your air conditioning more. It's going to be more expensive. So for this is the first giant down payment by America for the future generation to fight the biggest threat to their livelihood, which is climate change. So for a Democratic Party that has struggled to connect with voters and young voters who generally feel disassociated from American politics, this, I think, is the first step to show that politicians actually care and are listening to young Americans when it comes to the things they care about, like fighting climate change. Or at least I should say Democrats, the only people who supported this bill.
Yeah, I mean, it was, right?
It was 50-50. Exclusively, yep.
And, you know, but for the vice president,
mm-hmm.
you know, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah. And before we move on or go anywhere else, the biggest thing for me personally, as a son of a diabetic, capping insulin at $35 a month for those on government programs, Medicaid and Medicare, is absolutely huge. Negotiating drug prices for Medicare and Medicaid, something that both parties have been touting they want to do for decades, finally got done by a Democratic Congress. So knowing that my dad will be able to get his insulin a bit more reliable and a bit cheaper so that he doesn't ever have to worry about how to ration his insulin till he gets his next Social Security check, for me is huge. I'm extremely disappointed, though, that Ron Johnson voted to take it out of the bill for people with private insurance. So the average Wisconsinite who's not retired yet or not on Badger Care still has to pay $95, $100, $120 a month for their insulin because Ron Johnson didn't think that they deserved to pay a $35 cap.
Yeah, Senator Johnson has been taking care of the very wealthy and the very wealthy for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's completely forgotten about who the people are and who's actually voting. So here we are in purple land.
Yeah.
Right? Waukesha. How's this going to play out now? Between now and November, before we get in the prime, you know, tomorrow's election.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a thing that Democrats run on. Because if you look at the demographics of Waukesha, we're a highly educated county, one of the more wealthy counties in the state, a higher middle class county. These are the people who are going to be the ones taking the step forward to put solar panels on their house. They're going to be the folks who are debated whether they want to get an electric vehicle or a new gas-powered vehicle. And with the $7,500 instant credit, that electric vehicle becomes much more plausible. So I think these things, these cost-saving measures, are very great selling points for Waukesha County, because you want to be, you know, we're conscious of climate change, we're conscious of our pocketbooks, we're conscious of keeping our wages ahead of what we're spending. And these investments allow Waukesha people to make the investments in their future without crippling where they're at today.
So you had mentioned that you were out over the weekend with high school folks,
yep,
young Dems.
Yep.
What was the response at the door?
Yeah, so we actually had a great contact this weekend. Normally, when you're out canvassing, you get about 10, 15% contact rate. We were floating near 30 this weekend. People just answering the doors. It's a hot weekend. You don't want to go out. It was great. People really felt like things are kind of moving along. It felt like in the last couple of weeks, the government started humming. And like I mentioned earlier, there's a long list of accomplishments that Democrats have done in the last 2 weeks. And people, I think, are starting to see it. You know, you're going to the gas station and it's slowly going down again. You know, I drove by a Quick Trip, $3.50 a gallon.
Right, we're back.
Yeah, we're back to kind of normal, or getting close to it. It's not perfect. You know, people are still struggling. But from what we heard, people started, they're feeling the boot coming up a little bit.
Do you think people are recognizing too that the high gas prices was just, you know, greedy oil companies? I mean, they were just cashing in.
I think it's becoming more apparent over time, as, you know, you can only turn on the news so often and hear that ExxonMobil has had their most profitable quarter of all time. As you look out across the street and see the gas is $4.50, $4.80 a gallon, for you to put the pieces together.
So, Matt, we're coming up on our first break. Folks, this is Matt Moreno. He's the head of the Waukesha Democratic Party. We're here talking about justice, democracy, and big election tomorrow. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show, folks. We will be back on the other side. Welcome back, folks. Welcome to the Paul Revere Show. We are here on the Shaw, 5:40 a.m., the Devil's Radio, every Monday night from 7 to 8, 92.7 FM, 101 FM. We're here tonight with Matt Moreno, the young leader of the Democratic Party of Waukesha County. And we were talking before the break, just sort of significant events that have occurred in the last couple of weeks that have had an impact and or will have a profound impact on all our lives over the next, you know, years to come. We talked about the impact of the Inflation Reduction Act. And Matt, let's talk a little bit more. CHIPS, the burn pits.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what they are and the battle it took to get them done.
Absolutely. And you know, I think it's really important, and the thing we miss a lot when we talk about stuff going on, because you mentioned CHIPS Act, and so many people don't know what that is. But the CHIPS Act is was originally a bipartisan piece of legislation. Democrats and Republicans both supported it. And what it, the whole goal of it is to make America more competitive in technology creation. Because right now, I think everyone kind of expects that when you buy a piece of technology, it's going to be made in China, made in Japan, made in Korea. And during COVID, we really saw the impacts of not being made in America anymore. Car prices skyrocketed. Technology prices, TVs, laptops, cell phones skyrocketed. Why? Because the chips, the processors, the tiny little technology pieces that go inside of all these devices are made overseas. And when the world shuts down and you're not getting stuff sent across the oceans, and China's consistently shutting down their economy as they deal with COVID in a more profound way than we have, you're seeing all these things become either unavailable or the price skyrocket, which is impacting Americans through inflation. So what President Biden and originally Republicans and Democrats agreed to is, hey, let's incentivize and get some of the American companies to start making these things back home. So they put $52 billion into incentives to get companies to bring production back home and create really high-paying technology manufacturing jobs here in America. It was also supposed to grant more funding for research and development so that the next, you know, breakthrough in battery technology or the next breakthrough in memory technology so that your phone can have even more memory in a smaller device happens in America and not overseas. And what happened was, originally everyone was on board, Democrats, Republicans, everyone agreed this was needed to put America first, as Trump likes to say. And then when Republicans learned that Democrats were also going to be looking at this climate package and this healthcare package, they pulled out because they would rather play politics than put the needs of Americans first.
Happens way too often. Happens way too often. So we had politics played with veterans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us.
Burn pits. So I think it's important to first recognize what burn pits are. You know, one of my good friends, Emily, served in Iraq, and I was talking to her about it because I'm not great on veterans issues, but she's someone who can keep me grounded and bring me awareness of issues. And burn pits are basically when you're in a base in hostile country, you don't really leave the base. You don't go outside the wire. You stay where you're at. So any trash you make, excrement that we create, batteries we go through, anything like that, you can't just drive out and toss in the dump. You keep it in base and you burn it. So all of our veterans were spending time in Iraq inhaling the fumes of things they were burning: trash, food scraps, batteries, excrement. And this creates a lot of long-term health issues. So there was a burn pits bill basically saying, hey, while there is a problem with the VA right now, recognizing that burn pits may cause cancer, they have a lot of long-term health things because there's no clear distinction been made yet, this bill is basically saying, hey, we're going to make this distinction that burn pits cause these diseases, and we're going to make sure that you as veterans have the funding to get treatment. And originally, like, once again, bipartisan thing. Everyone was here for it until Democrats started moving forward with other pieces of legislation that Republicans didn't like. So there's this terrible picture of Ted Cruz and the senator of Montana fist bumping on the floor after they blocked the vote, celebrating their defeat of Democrats and defeat of veterans, that I found particularly disgusting as a friend of a veteran who breathed in from burn pits. So luckily, Democrats were able to salvage the bill and pass it with just barely enough Republican support to get it through, to pass this and actually make sure that our veterans who are struggling with the lung disease, with cancer that come from these, get the treatment they need that the government promised them when they sacrificed their lives for our country.
So another huge issue in people's minds, and particularly many, many women, was the whole Dobbs decision and the reversal of Roe versus Wade. When you and folks were out canvassing over this weekend, what were people saying about that whole thing?
It's foremost on a lot of people's minds. That and gay marriage is also up there again as well. So if you're going out, so we spent time in Brookfield, we spent time in Waukesha, was where I personally was. We were canvassing all over the county. We talked to folks who are very concerned about the future of what that looks like, because a lot of women are saying their girls, their daughters today, are going to grow up with less rights than they did. Take that, sometimes we get so caught up in politics, but really take that to heart. The little girls that we're raising today in elementary schools are going to grow up for the first time in modern American history with less rights than the generation before them.
Yeah, well, with less rights than people have had for 50 years.
Yeah.
Half a century.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, the conservative Republican pro-Trump movement is clearly designed to take us back in time and not into the future.
Absolutely. And it's so extreme and radical from the MAGA folks running, like Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Michaels, that even victims of rape, one of the most heinous crimes imaginable, have less rights than their rapist to what happens to their body. Like the 10-year-old girl from Ohio who had to travel across state lines to be able to abort her rapist baby. That's absolutely heartbreaking. But yet so many Republicans across the country don't want exceptions for rape victims.
So, you know, when you were out talking, what are people saying in light of Kansas too, right? Kansas,
yeah,
voters, I mean, that's a purpler or redder state than we are.
Absolutely.
And resoundingly 2-1 in favor of maintaining the constitutional right, mm-hmm, to let a woman choose. Do you think that's having a ripple effect yet?
Absolutely. I think Kansas showed a lot of people that regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, or regardless even where your personal views are on abortion, there's a cross political spectrum idea that you don't want the government telling you what to do. Conservatives, let's go with conservatives, because not Republicans. Republicans seem very comfortable with using the government to further their ideology. Small government conservatives like the idea that the government should not be telling you how to live your life. And yet here Republicans are going against their supposed ideology to push their own agenda.
All right, folks, we're coming up on the break. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is The Shaw, 540 AM, 101, 92.7 FM. We'll be right back, folks, on what the elections tomorrow are going to have to tell us.
Come.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night at 7. This is Devil's Radio, The Shaw, 540 AM, 101 or 92.7 FM. I am here with Matt Moreno, the young head of the Waukesha County Democratic Party. We spent the first half of the show really talking about the accomplishments of the Biden administration and the Democrats in Washington. You know, and in terms of that, just how things are really going, right? Unemployment, it's tied for the lowest rate since 1969. It's a long time, folks. Tell you how old I am. I mean, you know, 69, I was in high school. That was Woodstock, folks, for anybody that can remember. We have wage growth for working folks up above 5.2%. We already talked about the Inflation Reduction Act that's going to do more going forward. You know, we got gas prices going back down. You know, we got starting to see that it was really the oil company's greed that was fueling this. So, big election tomorrow, primary.
We love primary days.
So, go ahead. What's it mean to Waukesha? What's it mean to the state?
Yeah, so Democrats are starting out tomorrow with three nominees locked in. Governor Tony Evers, Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor running for U.S. Senate, and our great Attorney General, Josh Call. So already our top of the ticket, pretty well solidified, and I think it's a great lineup so far. Lieutenant Governor, we have Waukesha's own Assemblywoman Sarah Rodriguez and Peng He from Madison. Both those candidates will be immensely qualified. I think they'll be great number twos for Tony, you know, his teammate. I think that puts us in a great position. Sarah Rodriguez, as I'm sure you're familiar, being here in the Shaw, just amazingly qualified, former CDC, great first term in the assembly, really kind of understanding that suburban mindset of what's going on here in the Shaw. Great, would be a great running mate. Same with Peng He out of Madison. Moving over to the Secretary of State, we have Doug LaFollette, who's been around for probably since 69 or so. Been around for a long time. Great Wisconsin heritage in Doug. And Alexia Sabour out of Madison, who brings a ton of fresh ideas and a fresh perspective. And then we go over to the state treasurer, where we have Angelito out of West Allis, great alderman, young veteran, diverse, great ideas, putting a great lot of energy. He's been crisscrossing the state. We have Aaron Richardson, mayor out of Fitchburg, who's been doing really cool things with affordable housing and bringing the growing the economy and growing the middle class in Fitchburg. And then we have Dr. Jillian Bettino from up north, who has a wonderful track record of being across the world and getting stuff done. Just a ton of diversity, and a ton of diversity in age and race and gender and ideas in the primary, which I think is really exciting, because if you look at the Republican primaries as kind of a counterexample, not a lot of diversity going on over there. A lot of similar mindsets, you know, a lot of, you know, negativity, a lot of infighting, while on our side, it's been very positive. We focused on ideas. We focused on talking about what Democrats want to do and what we can do versus the Republicans, who are just looking to rip each other's throats out. I mean, grab some popcorn and watch Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish go at it. Just here in the Shaw in the last week, we've seen Clayfish come out with Mike Pence and Scott Walker and take shots at Tim Michaels. And we've seen Trump come and take shots at Robin Voss and at Rebecca Clayfish. And I think it just goes to show that, again, they're more concerned with politics than they are with policy and getting stuff done for Wisconsinites. So tomorrow's going to be a great day where we get to nominate amazing Democrats who are going to solidify our ticket for November.
So talking to folks, say you're out here and you're still undecided.
Yeah.
Or you've historically viewed yourself as a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Why vote Democrat tomorrow?
I think, you know,
and not in the Republican primaries.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you are a moderate voter who, you know, maybe voted for Ron Johnson in the past, who, look, I get it. He, in 2010, he was a great candidate, talked about an outside business perspective, and then he went to Washington then and showed his true colors. No one should be ashamed of falling for Ron Johnson's, for what he was selling, because he went there and did nothing that he promised. So why think about dabbling in Democratic primaries tomorrow is you have a wealth of insight and ability to look at a ton of different ideas and decide where you want to go. Because if you're going to vote on the Republican side, you know what kind of MAGA candidate you're getting, no matter who you vote for. They're all mostly flavors of the same vanilla. But on the Democrat side, you do have some people who are a little bit more progressive, some people who are a little bit more moderate, and it does give you a chance to put your impact on the Democratic Party. And it's one of the things that I think is the most frustrating but the most rewarding about the Democratic Party is that we are truly the big tent party. We have coalitions who range from very moderate Ron Kine to Mark Pocan, from Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin to Tammy Baldwin. All of us find a way to coexist, even though we agree to disagree a ton. And I think that's one of the things that makes the party very unique, is that we are actually open to debating ideas and walking away still thinking we're good people and we're great and we're friends, even if we disagree on some policy.
So when you're out here on the street,
mm-hmm,
canvassing over the weekend with young students, what are you hearing from independents?
The biggest thing we're hearing is that the Republican Party is not the same that they grew up with. We're hearing that they have been left by the Republican Party. And you have to look no further than Waukesha City's own Mayor Sean Riley, who left the Republican Party by saying, "The Republican Party left me." A lot of folks who have voted for Scott Walker, who have voted for Ron Johnson, who maybe voted for Mitt Romney or George Bush, historical Republicans, are now looking at a MAGA-led base very confused about what happened to their party. I mean, just look no further than the current leaders of the Republican Party statewide. You have Ron Johnson, you have Rebecca Clayfish, and you have Tim Michaels. All of them who have taken trips to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring. because they don't care anymore about what their base thinks. They care about what the Trump base thinks and what the MAGA base thinks, because if you can win over MAGA, you can generally win your primaries. We're seeing that across the country.
So, but how does this play out? Because last week we had former Vice President Pence mm-hmm. here for Rebecca Clayfish.
Yep.
Then we had former President Trump here for Tim Michaels.
Sure did.
Did you see, or do you have a feel of the differences in the audiences and, you know, where people are breaking on that? Because we do see a schism that
Absolutely.
It is, it's always sort of been there, but it's becoming more apparent.
Absolutely. You know, it certainly looks like from an outsider's perspective that that Rebecca has a lot of the Madison Republicans kind of lined up, the establishment, the old school, lined up behind her. The people from the pre-Trump years, which kind of makes sense because of where she came from and her husband Joel being long-term in the state assembly and now he's a lobbyist. Of course, they're going to have kind of that establishment support. And then you have a lot of the newer, engaged MAGA-type voters, obviously just hounding for Tim Michaels, who came out of nowhere. Like, no one really thought about this guy for a long time until he dropped 10, 15 million of his own money, and now he's the kind of the front runner. He's pulling decently ahead of Clayfish in the last Marquette poll.
So, I mean, are people asking about, you know, the fact that he's lived out of state? I mean, he just spent, what, over 15 million on a home recently, where in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
I mean, are people talking about that?
We hear a little bit about it, but luckily the people there, they're trying to get the vote of right now are not voters that we know we're ever going to get. If you're going to a Trump rally, you're probably not even open-minded to voting for a Democrat. So we're actually out talking to...
Not yet.
Maybe. So we're actually out talking to what I would say closer to real life people who go to work, come home, feed their kids, and don't have a ton of time to plug in. But it's certainly an issue we've come up with. As we've learned more about Tim Michaels, we learn more about how out of touch he is, whether it's the three homes and not living in Wisconsin a lot, or how he tends to overcharge the state for all of his road construction projects that are just under the legal limit to get him audited. So a lot of convenience and a lot more things that I think we have to learn about Tim Michaels coming up.
Well, Matt, we're coming up on the break. Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here on the night before the big primary. We're trying to provide you some background information to make your vote meaningful. Get out and vote, folks. Get out and vote. This is... You can show up and register to vote and cast your ballot. You know, this whole thing we call a democracy doesn't work unless we all get in the boat and row. If we're not all rowing, our ship just is going to crash and burn. But, you know, we're very optimistic. You know, I've got three grandkids, folks. This passage of the Inflation Reduction Act over the weekend, the first real hit by the U.S. on global warming, is going to be a major, major thing. Now, people may not think about it tomorrow. They may not even be thinking about it by November. But folks, you're going to be thinking about it in 2024, and you're going to be thinking about it in your future. And if you love your kids and you love your grandkids, you really should start thinking about getting out there and voting. So, Matt, we've teed it up. Key issues going forward tomorrow. What should be people thinking about?
I think everyone should be thinking about your family. Think about, you know, what you worry about every night, what keeps you awake. I know every night when I go to bed, I think about the same things. I'm currently trying to buy a house with my wife, and housing prices are expensive. I think about it. I worry about my best friend Emily and her long-term effects of burn pits as a veteran. And I think that if folks really spend the time to think about what is worrying them and then look at who is running for office, it becomes really clear who is worried about people like me. And if you are at all concerned, just look at what people are talking about, what they're running on, how they're voting. Democrats have passed historic amounts of legislation that we talked about throughout the earlier parts of this episode. Republicans voted against almost every single aspect of that. Rather, you're a senior citizen to get lower drug prices. Rather, you're a diabetic who needs insulin. Rather, you're a veteran. And instead, what are we seeing out of the Republican leaders right now? They are trying to limit how women can control their bodies, who can get abortions.
Let's be very clear, right? Tomorrow, if you're voting in a primary, mm-hmm. and if you want to have your vote stand for a pro-choice reproductive rights position, right, you have
one party. There's not a single Republican that you can support tomorrow that will stand for your reproductive freedom.
In the state level and federally.
Yep.
And folks, if you out there and you're independent and you're wondering, go pull that. I'm just saying, we have Mandela Barnes that is out there pro-choice, committed to working people. Mm-hmm. Vote.
Absolutely. Mandela Barnes, fun fact, would also be one of the very rare not multimillionaires if elected to Congress. He won't even have a single millionaire. He's not, no millions. So that's the type of stuff that is on the ballot. Who is like you? Who's going to understand the struggles of your family? And regardless of who is on the ballot in November, who survives the Republican bloodbath of tomorrow, it's going to be the same type of MAGA extremism from both candidates. They both want to ban gay marriage. They both want to tell you who to love, how to love, where to love. They want to tell you how you can do things with your body. And it's not even just abortion. This is a conversation we had over the weekend with a voter who was, she herself, very anti-abortion, which is fine. But she was talking about a story she read where doctors are on the phone with lawyers trying to figure out how they can protect women who have miscarriages without getting themselves in legal trouble. Think about how crazy that is. We have doctors who, instead of protecting the woman who's having a miscarriage, probably one of the hardest moments of her life, who's also now in medical jeopardy, instead of treating her and making her feel, saving her life, they are letting her bleed while they're talking to lawyers about what they can do without going to jail.
Right, and women have the constitutional right. They did. Right? They did. Mm-hmm. Until we know the Supreme Court took it away. I think that's important because we have Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish. Mm-hmm. Both oppose it.
Yep.
Now, I got a little aside here, too. This whole issue of how they view democracy, I think, is important. And there's a lot of folks that I don't know how much they pay attention to the administration of elections. Mm-hmm. Okay, but as many of you know, folks, I serve, one of the things I do is I've committed my time to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The Wisconsin Elections Commission was created by Republicans 6 years ago.
Yep.
6 years ago, the Republicans created this. The Wisconsin Election Commission replaced the GAB.
Which was once called a model for the nation of administering elections.
Right, and I think this is really, I don't know if people are watching what this means. You know, the GAB they were judges. They were neutral. It was the judges and the staff were nonpartisan, which means let's use football, right? When the Packers play any other team, the ref always comes in a black and white striped shirt, mm-hmm. right? The umpire is neutral. The GAB was neutral. The Republicans didn't like a neutral body calling the rules of elections. So they created the Wisconsin Election Commission. Mm-hmm. Now, the staff was still nonpartisan, committed to be the neutral. Mm-hmm. And then they put three Democrats and three Republicans. And here we are. There's the partisan politics, but we are supposed to be playing the role of the umpire. The umpire. So I had the privilege of being the first chair in the Wisconsin Election Commission. We held the 2016 elections. I said to the world, right? President Trump won the election fair and square. There was no fraud, right? Elections are fair. 2020, President Biden won. Same rules. It was only after Trump lost did folks, and now it's virtually all the Republicans, calling for the abolition of the Wisconsin Election Commission. And now they want to go to an election system where there's no more umpire anymore. They want the team, winning team, calling the calls, calling the plays. This is like not American. So does that have any impact, do you think, on the voters? Or are they just so removed from this?
I think there's definitely a piece of it that matters, and I think that's something we should talk about more. In Waukesha, we have a ton of great city, village, town clerks who oversee the local elections. We have poll workers who are just members of your community who are counting and helping you vote and checking
your
ID and doing all that. These folks, when you have Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Michaels out there saying that they're willing to decertify elections and they question the results, it might feel, they might be thinking about the big voter fraud myth. But the people who are impacted are your neighbors who help count those ballots. They're your village clerk who you pay your taxes to, but also help count your ballots. Those are the folks who are going to be getting the threats, who are going to be getting questioned for their job. They're going to be the ones who are dealing with this fallout day after day after day. And based on the massive turnover we saw across the state of city, village, town clerks, it took a toll. We want professionals doing these jobs, and we have to treat them with respect to do that, and we're not seeing that out of the Republican ticket right now.
I think that's really important. Just having been involved now with elections for 6 years, the notion, right, that I've tried to follow is like, we should be neutral. Mm-hmm. We should call it fair and square, mm-hmm. right? When Voss won, I said he won, mm-hmm. right? When Trump won, he won. It used to be when the other team, the other side lost, they would walk away, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time, right? There was sportsmanship, right? You go to battle afterwards, you shake hands, you move on. Mm-hmm. That has flipped.
Absolutely.
And it is really disturbing
yeah.
to me that Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish adopt that point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim Michaels, we let him on the ballot, even though he didn't follow the rules.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I actually got some emails from folks that said he shouldn't have been on. I said, look, if you don't want him on, don't vote for him.
Yep.
But this is a democracy, right? People should be on.
Absolutely.
We got 30 seconds here, Matt. Sum it up.
Final pitch, guys. Don't forget to vote tomorrow. If you have any voting problems, voting questions, give us a call at the Waukesha Dems, 262-955-2583. Once again, that's 262-955-2583. We have rides to the polls, and we're here to help all day from open to close to help you cast your ballot.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. Thanks for listening. If you care and you love democracy, get out and vote tomorrow. I don't care who you vote for. I do care, but that's up to you. But vote, folks. Vote. Thank you all.